Well, welcome everybody to this webcast on the code, right? Knowing the code here, sponsored by the Mobile Application Developer Tampa User Group and In Business Links. And we're bringing back the Russ's Toolshed branding here. So what we're going to talk about here today is know the code inside of Windows App Studio. We're actually going to give you a tour of the code that gets generated through the Windows App Studio product in creating a universal platform application. And the deck you can see right there is at bit.ly. And we got to go ahead and get things started in the tool shed manner from knowing the code years ago. So let's go ahead and play the theme song.
Russ's Tool Shed.
Hello, Tampa! How you guys doing? You want a code monkey? There you go. Xamarin shirts. We got ray gun shirts. Yeah, baby. Back row, can I make it? Let's see if that baseball arm still works. Can I push? One more. Way in the back. Oh, there we go. Up and more. Keep up, keep it up, keep it up. There we go.
My name is Russ Fastino, for those that have never seen me present before or know me. I'm a programmer and a Microsoft MVP and head up Fastino Brothers, Inc. here, FBI Apps, and very proud to bring you these the series of webcasts. We've done a couple other ones, part one and two, on App Studio, and encourage you to watch those as well. Gary, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, Gary Fastino, of course. I'm a local graphic artist and a website designer here in the Tampa Bay area, and I was nominated for the Good Burger Award, which is St. Petersburg, meaning that I'm considered a good citizen, so I appreciate that from the community. I get involved with doing all the graphics for the websites and for our apps that we are building. And we've got some tips on the graphics, especially in part two, if you want to take a look at that on the Windows App Studio. And now I'll turn it over to Richard.
Yeah, Rich Fastino. I'm the musician in the group, and I take care of a lot of the videos and the content. And I'm a teacher at Matt's Music and Crossroads Music, and I present the Week of Rock. This is year number 10, where I put 20 young musicians together, and in 1 week we come up with a rock concert. And I've had the pleasure of teaching some famous people. One is Annie DeFranco. I was her guitar teacher many years ago. Jimmy Burkowski's professor of classical music at Fredonia. And that's a short vignette for my life.
And who is that
guy on the screen there?
I wonder. Yeah. That's Ian Anderson standing right in the middle of all three of us. He's from Jethro Tull, and we have our Jethro Tull endorsed app.
And he's standing on one leg. Very
yeah,
usual.
Notice
that. Oh, it's right there. You see the one leg there? And
I right love there. It.
So you go out to the InBusinessSEO.net site. That's my brother Gary's site. A lot of great content along the way, including the last couple parts we did month-to-month in May and June on App Studio. We kind of did an intro in the first part. Part two is more involved data. Today is going to be to the metal, man. We're going to get down to the code and actually show you the code this generates. So just kind of a recap of what we did in part one. We showed you the new templates that are available in App Studio, as well as the data source and client. And the bottom line is you're creating a universal platform app. So this is a designer-based approach then online, a website. You go ahead and pick your templates that you want to use to display the data that you're consuming from many different possible resources and sources, I should say, including YouTube, RSS. The latest one is in the REST feed, which we actually talked about in part two, which was a part of the massive updates in the June release. And then also data collections and graphics we talked about, as well as installable packages, which allows you to share your App Studio app with other teammates and friends that might be helping out testing. Today, it's all about solving the pain, right? How do I integrate the command bar to execute in one set of event handlers? So we'll show you the code that does that. Command bar is the upgrade to the app bar in the Universal Windows platform development. Very, very cool control. And you'll see it automatically flips down to the bottom when you're in phone view versus up on top and wide in tablet or desktop view. And how do I integrate the latest crash reporting from Microsoft called Hockey App? If anybody here has been doing a hockey app at all yet, but we'll give you kind of a bird's eye view of the crash reporting that Microsoft has recently put together. And what about master DeepL page relationships? This is always something you typically would have in a lot of different apps. Maybe you have a list of items, then you want to drill down into one of the items. And how does it work in the App Studio code? And the navigation bar, you know, how, where is it in the app, and how do I search right in my app? And we'll see the things that are built right in the App Studio allow you to do that. And if you want to write an app, app functions that completely in airplane mode, you know, once it's cached and created, that would be a good thing to do. And if you're, you know, a UWP coder, you don't want to miss this gap topic here on caching. And it's huge, like one of the local car dealers says here at Florida, the CVS. I understand he's actually got other car dealerships across the country. It does the same type of thing, ads there. But anyway, we'll show you how to set up the ad client in App Studio and then look at the generated XAML. So a lot of great things, and really there's not going to be much more PowerPoints here. We're going to go right into code for pretty much the rest of the session. So in order, what we're going to cover first here is the navigation and search capabilities, the master detail, the command bar, and then the hockey app and caching and the ad client. Before we get to that, this is the hockey app, how you actually get to it. You just, it's inside of your application, enable crash analytics. It'll take you out step by step, and then you get your little key code, and then it'll go into your code in the app.cs file, and I'll show you that when we get to that. Also, the pricing. Some people might be asking about the pricing. I did look up this yesterday on the business plan. You are allowed, this is the business plan, okay, so you got all the different number of apps, number of owners, and the various pricing that's associated with it. Anywhere from $30 a month up to $500. And then there is a personal plan as well, and you do get two free apps. So if you want to kick the tires and try it out, you can try it out with one of those. So here I'm going to be showing this app that we are just working on. It's our FBI apps app right here. So you can see I've got the navigation here between the homepage, software news, the tall news. We got a gallery. We got Channel 9 videos. And an about page. The home page is what you're looking at. If I scroll down, you can see all the different sections that I just announced. Plus, there's a few more here for some handy links that we're working on. And then, yeah, we got, this is some really good news here, huh, guys? The code that America took to the moon was just published on GitHub. It's like a 1960s time capsule. It's really great. So if you go out to the link, you can see there's a command bar link right there in the application. It goes out, and there is the fascinating information about the code back in the 1960s. Could you imagine that? Look at all that code right there. Holy cow, man.
Hey, that is a
really
lot.
Something. And they actually go into some of the assembler code here, if I remember correct, reading it right down in here. There it is. There's the code that got our astronauts to the moon. Pretty freaking cool, if you ask me. It just sends chills up my spine. Anyway, that's the type of information that you'll find in our application. The very first section is our newsletter that we publish daily. It's a Festino Brothers News. Go out to news.festinobrothers.com, and you can get the actual nice formatted version of this. There's the advertising control, and then we have the Tull News. This is our Tull newsletter, so you can see all the different articles there coming up there. This quotes is kind of a cool thing here. What I'd like to do is there's one quote here that's pretty cool here. Okay, if you're going to use smile, anthology, metaphor, be descriptive, and have some flowery adjectives and a few odd nouns and some engaging bits of dialogue and sentiment, then you're sort of writing a novel, according to Ian Anderson. But rock lyrics are not really known for their sophistication. So that's kind of like an oxymoron, I think, is what that one is. But anyway, some really good stuff there in terms of the app. So now, in the app, when we go to create this, of course, you saw the software news, right? And then let's go ahead and edit this table. And what you're looking at are two very common views, right? You got a list page view and a detail page view. The list page view here, you can see, is this big horizontal card. If I slip to a different view, that's a horizontal card versus a big one. Here's another one for big pictures, right? So you're going to see all these templates in the code. That's why I'm showing them to you right here. Then you have a detail page, and there's four different layouts for the detail page. You've got a related content where you can actually, like, say you had you were doing an app on sessions and abstracts at a conference at an event. You'd want those two collections to be related. So you can actually have two of your pages in your application related. So like the software news and tall news, it could be related by a common field, and you would be able to identify that in this particular pane. So it's pretty neat stuff. So text layout is the one we're looking at there. The data, this would be your RSS feed, right? And it gives you a sampling of the data right there. Related content, which would be the relationships we just talked about. And then in the config tab, you specify where you want it. Do you want it in the navigation pane? Do you want it to show it on the home page? And so it's a lot of your basic settings that you would need for any application that you're working on. And so let's go ahead and go back out here so I can show you a little bit more here. So we've got each one of these is a separate page in the list. And then you come down to settings, and in the settings, this is where you would go ahead and specify things like your hockey app key right there. So you click on this hockey app, it'll guide you right through step by step what you need in to put in. You put your privacy statement in there. This is your publisher information on the store. And then also you have tiles and themes here that you can specify and base it on a particular collection. Right now I've got it based here in this app on the gallery collection. Okay, so that's a quick run of the online piece. Now let's go take a look at the code that's generated here. So when you go ahead and download this application, let me bring up Visual Studio. First of all, let's take a look at the structure. You have a lot of great goodness here in this app. I'm going to go ahead and show you each section here. We'll close all these up so you can kind of get a feel for the makeup of the app. Okay, so you have these service references, which would be your application insights, any of the assets that you have, all the logos, all that stuff. Then you get into some really good sections here, the layouts. And I'm going to talk to this in a minute, but here's where you have your control layouts for things like the advertising control, the home image hero page, which is the one where you had on your list page where you want to specify an image at the top of that. There's the detail pages. We're going to be looking at that one there, the detail layout. And then you also have list formats, and we're going to be looking at the big list horizontal there. All right, so those are the ones we're going to be looking at there. And then also you have navigation information, your pages. So this is where you have each page. Each one's a static page that you have generated through App Studio. And then also you have the home page is the very first one that you saw come up. But even before that is the shell page. We're going to talk about that as well. Then you have sections. Each section you would have different information on each section, which is where they actually load up the RSS feed, for example, and all your styles. There's a ton of different styles here that are done for you on your behalf inside of there. And then a very important area here, the view models, and this is where we're going to take a look at how these integrate in with some of the data that we have up here on the application. So the very first thing I want to show you here, we're going to drill into the shell. The shell is the very first application that runs. If you actually were going to go right down to the beginning here in the app CS, you would see in here that it's going to, on the launch loaded, this is where it's actually going to go and execute the shell right here. So the shell page is the very first one that comes up. Also, while I'm in here, you will see that this is the line of code that gets generated for the hockey app. It goes ahead and just sticks your key in, one line of code, and now you have crash reporting built right into your application. So that one there is pretty easy to do. But getting back to the navigation, so if we go ahead and take a look at the code that is behind the shell page, this is where, by the way, the shell page is where you would have things like your icon that go up in the upper left corner of that screen, the caption for the navigation page. There is information here for a default header. So if you want to modify, right now it throws up the binding of the title into the app header of the page. But if you want to enhance that, that'd be the area XAML to go ahead and modify for that. And then let's go ahead and look at the code here. The code is the good part where you actually get into a section here, which is the initialized navigation items. That's called from the unnavigated to event. And then we come down over here and you can see each page now in the navigation. So when I did the hamburger menu pull down, this is what you get, right? So you got a tall news list page, gallery list page, the Channel 9 videos, which I'm very proud to bring back. Can't wait to get those app functional so you can all visit some of my work in the past. it's not quite as old as the one, the Man in the Moon, you know, code, but it's a few years back anyway. And then you get into, you know, the different icons about each one. So you have the about, you know, ping file, for example, on each one of these. These are fonts that
just after paper tape.
What's that, Gary?
Just after paper tape.
That's right. Just half a paper tape. That's right. So, anyway, that's the navigation menu. So, if you wanted to add more pages to your application manually and edit the code, and really, there's two things I'm talking about here. One is taking App Studio as far as you can go with it, and one thing missing from App Studio is the ability to have like a updated like area of the app. For example, if you want to have a profile information added for your user and you want them to be able to update it, send it back to a database, that capability is not in there. It's all read-only pretty much activity. But a lot of times you need that code, and sometimes you can either develop an app as far as you can go with it and then go enhance that, or sometimes you just might need a quick sample of code of how you do something that, you know, App Studio does. And a lot of times I just you see all my dummy apps I got up there. I'll just create a dummy app and just see the code that gets generated. And then, you know, I don't know about you, but I learn best by seeing code and then, you know, stepping through it with the debugger and then figuring out exactly how it all ties together. Well, you have that opportunity. This is some phenomenal code that gets generated on the part of the App Studio folks. It's just really, you know, you take a look at all the features. I talked about a lot of them in that paint slide. The caching is built right in. The dynamic loading of data, you know, there's a timestamp that shows the user the last time the data was entered. You know, I bring up the app, you can see that it was right at the bottom of the homepage, and things like that, you know, right here, you can see last updated. I'm going to get my little pointer right over here, and right here. So this part right over here, I'm circling here. You can see the last update in the lower left corner of the screen. That is a beautiful thing. And then also, anytime you bring up a new page here, a new section. So if I go ahead and hit this new section, you see that little dot, dot, dot? That's actually doing a refresh of the data. So your data is always, always up to date. And this is a great thing, you know, when you're building this app and you can actually see this stuff on your screens. So that is the navigation piece. Now search has its own page. So if you notice in that application, if I go ahead and fire this up one more time, I should just leave this up and running in case I got to go back to this. But there on the hamburger menu on the top, when you expand it out, there is a place to search. So if I go ahead and type in search here and do a search on test, you can see, oh, there's a couple of testing videos, right? And then software news, this is another one that's got the word test in it and comes up nicely formatted like in each one. So a lot of times you want to build something like that into your application. So the search page then is in this particular application, and strangely enough, it is called search page. And so there it is, and there you can see the actual data that is being bound to here. You have your text box with the search result going in there, and then you have your actual binding to the data that is being used in your data context, which is from the software news page, right, is the one that actually shows up there. And then you also get to this part right here. So on the format, it's going to be using the list big horizontal card format, which is what we had in the, if you recall, back in the designer right here. And this is also on the homepage. Let me go right out to the homepage, and I can show you that there as well. And so let's go ahead and bring up the homepage. And so this is a work of art right here, right? So this is actually, here's your command bar at the top. And then you also have the pane header. And then you get down into the section here, which is the section list item. And you can see the section list here is software news. So if we go ahead and bring that that up, you can see the model for that under the sections area of the script. So let's go ahead and bring up software news section. And now you can see right here, so now here's the URI I'm going to be loading in. And then you can see here, that's for the RSS feed. and then you get your data. There's load more data async, right? So that's going to go ahead and load that in. Then here's your view model for the list page, right? So you have the title, a substring, you got an image, and then this is the view model here for the detail page that comes up. So that's your master detail work built right in, and you can see the different fields there that you're mapping based on the data that you're reading in. So the data you're reading in is on the right, and then the view model is the data that's going to end up being presented to the UI on the left. So very well architected. I can't talk this up enough, but the big part here I want to show you now is this layout, right? So these are all in the layout section. And let's go over to the layout section here for the each one of these. So the first thing we got is the list layout. And the list layout you can see is that big list horizontal card. And so now you can see this is bound off of our item view model we were just looking at. And this is a very cool control here that that we use actually in the it's on the relative panel, and this will show you how that that looks, right? So in the app right now we've got the title, and then we've got the subtitle, and then we've got the content, right? And if you go over here, here is the and if there was an image on there, the image would be there, and everything is going to be relative to the image, right? So here's the title. I'm going to say relative panel to the right of the image. So picture if you had an image there, that title would be to the right of it. Now if you wanted to change that, you could do that simply by changing the location, left of, below, or aligned with the left with panel, for example, or right with panel. So you have lots of control where you place these items dynamically, and they all just kind of flow out onto the page into a best fit type thing. And then you can see the last field here, which is below the title and to the right of image, and that's going to be your title, right, that we have there. So that's kind of the information that gets appeared on that particular page. If you look at the code, what we're doing here on the code behind, not much, right? This is all done through pretty much the binding in the XAML is everything that's the beauty of this. So this is a great template. And, you know, one thing you could do with this template, if you wanted to get the, for example, download the source code from GitHub of App Studio, you could actually maybe feed these parameters in dynamically to build pages dynamically as a thought, right? That might be one thing you might be able to do, for example, with these templates. So there's a lot of power here that is being leveraged and being made available to you in this application. Okay, so now we got here the detail page. If you take a look here, we've got the next one we're going to show you is going to be in the list, the detail page right here. And so that is where we got this nice relative panel once again we're using here on the layout. Then you can see the stack panel for the title come in with the image URL, and then you also have the HTML block if you got one of those in your application for the other data. So everything is kind of really nicely laid out. You can see the other types of layouts that were you had to choose from, the related content, the photo detail, that they're all in here. So if you did want to switch programmatically to one of those layouts, you can just simply change that in your XAML and use a different template. So that's nice as well that these are all made available to you in there. Okay, next up is the command bar integration. So if we take a look at the command bar, where we're going to be looking at here is the view model. And the view model, what we had here is an action. You may have seen the refresh command that was populated up on the command bar. This is how you add it in. You just do, you know, whatever the command is, which is going to put the code in down here for that. This is going to be our action and the name of it, and whether it's a primary or secondary, right? So primary or secondary action type. Now, where do those end up? So for example, right now, I've got just one primary action, so it appears in the top. But if I go to a detail page, now you see I've got the primary, which was the go-to source, but I also have a share, small text, normal text, big text, are the secondary commands on the detail page. So what we are looking at here is the main view. Then there's also another view for the list items, right? So the list items would have a section in here as well for all of the commands and all of the actions, and those are derived from the list view model base. And there you can see, for example, the relay command for the item click event is right in here. Here's the refresh one for the list view page. And the last view model to look at would be your detail view model. And the detail view model is the one where you saw all of those other items as well available in the commands, like the app font size that we saw there. So there you've got in the shared content. So there's our some of the actions for those, right, is what we see there. So pretty nice stuff. And and there you can see right here the action type on these building together is primary. So then again, if you wanted that to be secondary on the right in the text area, the drop down, you'd make that secondary. So that's how you get at that type of information. Now, let's take a look at Hockey App. So Hockey App is the thing that helps you with your crash reporting. And it's really nicely integrated in with the application. If you right mouse click, you see there, open portal or distribute app. Now going out to the portal, what you'll see here is I've actually put this app up into the Hockey App area. And when you first start, it'll say enable crash reporting. And you hit that, and then it'll bring you to this page, and you add the name of the application, which we have here is FBI Apps. You can see we've got you know, some usage statistics here on the right. You've got the number of users accessing the app. And then if you had crashes, we haven't had any crashes yet, they would appear here with that information. So that is it. And then you also have the ability to create groups of test users. So for example, here you can invite people out to be in your test team. Then anytime you publish a new application, they'll be notified of it, but you can go ahead and do that. So you can see there's information about the app itself, distribution. You've got ability to add team members, right, to your application. So if I come out here, you can see I've got, here's the FBI Apps team. Then you've got the users right here. So right here I invited Gary and Rich. You guys got a reply to your email. Gary did, looks like. Rich, you got one pending there to be part of the team. So go ahead and accept that invitation, and then every time I do a new build, you guys will get it automatically. So the way you get a new build is a couple ways you can do it. One is you could say simply take this guy and distribute the app. So that basically means just upload it to Hockey App. Or you can go through and create a store, associate with a store app, create the app package, and then take that bundle and drag it up to the Hockey App, and so now that would be up there. But all the hooks are in programmatically, so you can actually see you know, the code. The one line of code I showed you in AppCS was the one. Now, I did notice a few places here, like on the list view model, there's some Hockey App code that got generated there on event tracking. That's something I got to look into, and I think this was actually looks like every try catches have been instrumented as well with App Studio. This is App Studio generated code. I did not put this in here. So this is something that you can see. And okay, this is a sync data search data async method right here. And so if there's an error, it'll go ahead and track that particular event that had the error and give you information about that. So that's pretty cool. And so I got to look in more into this current track event because that is where you get a lot of goodness on the application. You can actually sprinkle this type of code throughout your app to get you usage statistics on where they're using these you know, events. In this case, this is an exception event, but you could, in theory, what I used to do was a lot of times is, for example, I want to see who's clicking on, I don't know, the discography section in the Jethro Tull app. So I would put some code in on that click event handler to say, okay, people are clicking here. So then you could tell what the most used portion of the app is. So let's take a look now at the caching. So in the caching, I'm going to go right to where we load the data, and there is a data loader file
on that,
here.
On that Hockey App, I was looking at the Microsoft site, which is it is their application. they said that they could do reporting cross-platform. So it's another instance where they're reaching out to iOS and Android to provide statistics for all three platforms.
Yeah, well, exactly. And now that Microsoft owns Xamarin, right, and you're building cross-platform apps with Xamarin, you can certainly use HockeyApp to do a lot of your crash reporting. And, you know, a couple other crash reporting services worth noting here in your assessment of this, because they all charge for crash reporting in some respect. Xamarin Insights itself is free, but you have to have a Xamarin license, which is now free. So in essence, that one is free now, because before you used to have to pay for that license. So it's free with a MSDN subscription. So the MSDN subscription is what you'd have to have to have that free. I think, I'm not sure on the low end SKU, I have to check that out with the Express version of Visual Studio. I'm not sure if anybody in the audience knows an answer to that question, but you can speak up, Joe, or anybody else that's in the audience there. So anyway, that is the information on that. So let's go ahead and take a look here. So now you've got, this is the data loader, and what we're going to do here is actually, you see you got some loader settings with the cache key, the cache expiration, and then needs force a refresh. These are all items that are associated with each one of these loader settings. And then you can see the load data async method, and this is actually going to see find the cache key. And then if it needs to be cached, it's going to go ahead and wait and put it in the cache. And then the beauty of this, if I were to go into airplane mode, which I'm not going to do because I'm going to lose connection, but I could run this app exactly the way it is right now, and this information will actually come up, it's all cached. So it's usable in an offline manner, which is very, very cool as a result of this code. So again, well thought out, well architected code to go ahead and get started with in your application. Finally, let's take a look at a few more things here. One is the advertising control. So if we take a look at that, first of all, it is placed on the home page screen, and is where you would see that, and it's right below the software news. There is a section add data content and binding, and then here is the advertising control itself, and then go ahead and bring that up, and then you can see the advertising control here. So here is the XAML, and then also the code behind is in there. So you just have an add mediator control is what this guy is going to be using up inside the, this is in the Microsoft Ad Mediator Universal namespace. And then you actually have the banding, right, for the banner width. Now that is actually, I think, in the code behind. So you can see the banner width right there. So it gives you turn, if the current bounds is greater than 500, it's going to return a wider one. Otherwise, it's going to return a narrower one. And this will be for the phone view, basically, is what that would be for. And the other thing I wanted to show here on this, so on this command bar, you notice right here I've got the refresh statement on top. If I make this phone size, you notice what happened. It just went down to the bottom over here. So now your command bar is over here where you typically expect it on a Windows Phone app. Now keep in mind, I think the Windows Phone app has support for four of these main primary commands. The tablet view, of course, you have room for more, but they disappear on the phone view right now anyway with this code. So the max you would have is four there, and then you can have as many secondary commands as you want. This can just go, you know, right up the list. So you see the text size, smaller there, larger. You can go ahead and share this. This will bring up a share dialog you see here on the right of the screen. I'm sharing right here to share it with anybody you want. So those are how all those work, and again, all that code is built right in. And I think that is probably a good way to finish this particular session. I think we go ahead and we'll do a summary here on this. And so what we covered here today in these demos on the navigation and search menus that are built right into App Studio. The navigation bar information is in the shell page, and there is a search page XAML for the searching that brings back the data in your list format that you've suggested or desired for the rest of the app. So ours was the big card horizontal. And then the master detail relationships, and also the command bar were two different things that we did here as well. And so what we see here with the master detail, you had the list view would be your master, the detail would be the detail page, and all that binding is done in the code as well. The command bar was really a great tool, and I really got to like using that quite a bit in the Universal Web Platform. It's far superior to the app bar with a lot of those automated features that we talked about right there. And if you are doing UWP development, I would use the command bar object over the app bar object. The app bar, you'll see, has syntax that works within the command bar, but the command bar is the main holding application. In fact, let me just bring that back up while I'm thinking of it. So I'll show you a page here, one of these detail pages. Here's the gallery detail page, and you see right over here, so there's the command bar, right? And then here's a primary command. It's got the show info button, full screen button on this detail page. And then here are the secondary commands with the share item button and show presentation button. So these are the ones that are on there. There's the small text, the normal text, the big text. So these are all the markup that you would have, the app bar button within the secondary command piece of the XAML. So anything you're doing that's like custom, you would put the XAML like this, and this is using the Windows App Studio actions namespace. This is actually using the controls namespace with the command bar itself that's in Windows App Studio. And once again, you can download through GitHub the actual source code for those libraries. And right now I'm wired into the into my references. Those are all wired in as DLLs. You can see over here with the App Studio data providers, the UWP, and then also the this is actually for Universal Windows Platform. You need that as well. But this is where you have all of that information. Here you see the hockey app. You would go out to when I get the latest version, go out to NuGet and try that. I think I did have to back up one version. I couldn't use the latest newest because there was a syntax change in some of the statements, so beware of that a little bit, and I'm sure everybody will catch up at some point. But anyway, that was I did want to show you that in the XAML there, the work of the command bar. And then the hockey app integration for crash reporting. I would never, ever, ever implement something into production without crash reporting of some sort. We started talking about a few of the options there. One was hockey app, another one is Xamarin Insights, another one is Raygun. I did some contract work for Raygun last year and really got to know that product inside out. Let me tell you, it's rock solid. It does a lot of great analytics now as well as crash reporting. So that's something I got to check out called Raygun Pulse. So that's where you do all your event handler type logic. But the crash reporting was great. It brought back the stack trace and instantaneously uploads your errors to their servers. I mean, it's there immediately every time. They got a great infrastructure. So I can't speak highly enough about that particular product, and I feel it's reasonably priced as well. So there you have it, three different areas to consider for crash reporting. Caching is very important to build into an app. You always want to consider that offline experience for a user, and that facilitates it. Plus, it makes things lickety-split real fast. You don't see that wait. I mean, right now, this loads every section in this app, right? So if I bring this app up right from start, you will see pretty much every section load simultaneously. And that's a big improvement over the years, right, with the App Studio code. It used to do like one at a time at first, and then it was painfully slow. And then now if I had like a YouTube section, I can get as many YouTube videos in there as I want. It used to have a limit of 40. So a lot of these things are being reduced and improved with the App Studio code. So very, very fast load times is the moral of the story there with that. And then the ad client, you have some control over. So where do I start? A lot of great links, and we did upload this deck at the beginning. We notified you where that's at, and then also a blog on the June release. The REST API data source is phenomenal. And this is the new one I added here, which is the GitHub open source for App Studio. That's the GitHub. So if you go out to that site, you will go ahead and see that there is the source code for the entire App Studio project and all of the libraries, so you can see all the libraries. So you can download that, and then there's a sample app in the download that uses those libraries, and so you're not stuck at the short end of the list here, and you see everything that's included, some of that relative box control that we looked at, the search box control, the navigation service, the app cache service. This is some great code. If anything, you can go through here and look at the code that they use to generate a lot of these particular areas, but a lot of functional things. And let me tell you, this is so much better than doing File New in App Studio with Universal Project, having all this goodness here. Why wouldn't you want to start with using App Studio to build your shell of your application and then, you know, take it from there? I think you're so much more further ahead of the game than doing a File New in Visual Studio. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this session here. Our next session is going to be in September. We're taking a vacation break in August, and we'll be back at 12 noon, topic to be determined. Okay, so there you have it, and here's our contact information here, how to get a hold of us.